Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Mike T. Nelson here on Not Another Fitness Podcast for Fitness Geeks Only. And this week, we're talking about my study. It wasn't really my study per se, but my involvement in a very cool study in Costa Rica, down in Uvita, at Flow Retreat Center, my buddy Dr. Ben House. And just kind of reviewing a little bit of a sneak peek of some of the data and generalities, because we are submitting this for publication. More info specifically on my thoughts of it and my experience. I was a subject in the study also, in addition to helping with it. So that's what we're talking about this week. And the study, in case you're not familiar with it, is we went down to Costa Rica and we pounded the crap out of a bunch of meatheads for 4 days in a row. And specifically, we used the same training every day. And the question we were asking on this kind of pilot study is pretty simple. Like, what happens? Because I think if you were to pull from the old interwebs, a lot of people, and I probably would put myself a little bit in this camp too, would say that, you know, higher volume, heavier lifting, kind of in the hypertrophy range, doing that same thing every day, that people are not going to tolerate that all that well, and you're probably not going to see changes in acute performance going up, that you'll see maybe a spike up and then this kind of steady decline after that. And how I think this is useful is on people who have been training for many years, there just isn't a ton of data, especially as you get into more advanced or elite athletes. I would not consider myself an elite athlete, but I have been training for a couple decades at this point. There's just not a lot of data. And one of the main reasons for that is to run a study on higher level athletes, even in a collegiate environment, in essence, to make it a randomized controlled trial, you're literally going to go and hijack their program for 8, 12, 16 weeks. So if I went over to my buddy, Cal Dietz at the University of Minnesota, and said, hey buddy, I want to do this super cool randomized controlled trial looking at this specific program and its effect on lifting performance, because that's easier to measure than, say, performance in football or hockey or a sport. But I'm going to need to borrow a whole bunch of your, let's say, male athletes, could be female athletes too. And I want them to do the specific type of training for 16 weeks. And because it's a randomized controlled trial, we need a control group. And the control group may be not even training, maybe a very low training, or maybe a different training program altogether. In essence, I want him to put his job on hold for about 4 months just so I can run my little study. Of course, he's going to tell me to get lost. And if I were in his position, that's exactly what I would tell me also, because he's getting paid to get his athletes the best result possible. He's not getting paid to see what are some of the mechanisms going on. Now, of course, I know Cal, and he's a good friend, and he is interested in that. But the reality of the situation is that's not his main job, and there's no way the university would give that type of study the green light. If we go back to the original question about why we did this, again, because of that situation, it's even worse if you go up to elite athletes and go up to someone who makes millions of dollars a year and you want to run a study with them. There's just way too much risk. So we have very limited data, especially in highly controlled environments. Costa Rica is super cool because my buddy Dr. Ben House operates a retreat center down there. If you go down there, we flew into SJO Airport in Costa Rica. I've had the luxury of being down there a few times. This is my fourth time being down there. And then you grab a car ride. Usually it's his buddy Periquito that sets that up. It's about three-ish hours from there to get to his location, which is literally halfway up the mountainside in the jungle in the middle of Uvita, Costa Rica. Beautiful place. And when I say in the middle of the jungle, I'm not kidding. It is literally in the middle of the jungle. To get to the town of Uvita, it's a couple miles down a very treacherously rocky, steep road that up until last year you'd had to kind of ford across part of a river because there was not even a bridge there. Now they have this new fancy bridge there, so it is a little bit easier to get to, but there really isn't anything else around. And this is interesting because if you are running a study and you're trying to control people, we can then house all the people there. They had a wonderful chefs that did a great job making food. And because it is hard to get down to the town, it's extremely unlikely people are going to go out and eat at different restaurants or stay up all night and party and do other things. And while we're there, we had pretty much everything that was done for us, which was great. As I mentioned, the food was prepared. We would normally lift in our groups in the morning, and then we'd have the afternoon off to just kind of hang out. Went to visit some waterfalls a few times. There's actually multiple waterfalls actually on the property that you can walk to and swim. And we normally did meditation, which was led by Mr. Kim, Ben's dad, in the morning and the evening, which is a Zen style meditation. And it's really just a great place in order to conduct a study. Because the other part you have to consider is these subjects in the study probably want to be there. Recruitment of people is hard enough for a multiple day study, much less if you tell them, yeah, bro, just come, you know, hang out in this lab all day for 4 days in a row because we want to control all these metrics as best we can, or a metabolic ward study. Oh yeah, and it's in like the middle of the armpit USA. Good luck trying to recruit a lot of people for that. It's not going to be very easy. So this is great because we had an awesome facility. We got to play around with training for 4 days in a row. And the outcome was just to kind of see what happens. So we had them do some metrics, and I'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. But the study itself, what we did, and shout out to Ryan, Dr. Ben, for doing most of the work on the study for what to do. We wanted to have full body training, and we wanted it more in the kind of higher rep hypertrophy range. So how this was set up is you would do a barbell bench press. The goal was to find a weight of which you would hit around a 10 rep max. So all these lifts were carried out to an RPE of around a 9.5. So rating of perceived exertion. In English, that equates to the last rep you could complete, but you can't complete another rep. So this is pretty much to almost volitional fatigue, or on some accessory stuff to volitional fatigue. So very high intensity of effort. So barbell bench press, and then you would rest about 4 minutes between those on the compound lifts. And then you would go over and either do chin-ups or pull-ups, max reps. Again, if you could do over 15 or so, we would add weight to you. We would do a cable chest fly. And again, once we're doing the other accessory type stuff here, rest periods are dropped to 2 minutes. Again, still trying to hit that 10 to 15 rep range. A straight arm lat cable pull down. A straight cable press down. Dumbbell lateral raises. Straight bar bell curl. I gotta work the old biceps there. Then you would have a little bit of break before we went into the lower body session. So we'd have a break of 10 to 15 minutes. And you would do some type of squat. This could be a front squat. This could be a barbell back squat. This could be a safety bar squat. again, whatever you picked as an individual, you had to keep that same exercise the entire time. So we don't want people changing exercises because this is going to be compared to their first performance. Again, trying to hit around a 10 rep max on that. Then we would go into RDLs for 12 to 15 reps. We would do quad extensions, and then we would do seated hamstring curls. Again, those are all looking at 10 to 15 reps again. And for this whole program, we would do two sets for each one of those also. So for everyone we're going through, we're doing two sets. He did have a GymAware, so we were able to measure velocity or speed on the barbell bench press and on the squat. I'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in the next couple of days. So we went through and did this. Most people were taking, you know, about 2 hours to get through it. So that was right away the first day when we got there on Saturday. And then we repeated that for day two on Sunday, day three on Monday, and then day four on Tuesday. All right, so pretty brutal, a lot of work. And what's interesting here is we took the exact same thing on purpose. Because again, this is an acute study. And we wanted to see, is there a difference from day one to day two, to day three, to day four? And we'll talk about what are some of the findings here coming up. But I just wanted to set the stage for what the study was, why we set it up. And I'm hoping that in the future, I know through the Bro Research Center, which that is literally the name of it, we do have a clean bulk study going on. It's about 16 weeks of what it looks like if you add a lot of volume and you overfeed highly trained individuals. So for that study, you need to back squat at least twice your body weight. And there's some other requirements on fat-free mass index, so how much muscle you have on you. And we'd love to see more and more research in this area, right, of people who are more on the higher trained side of the equation. The facility is great. And it was wonderful to be down there, to be both helping with the study and to be involved in it on a first-person basis as one of the subjects in it. And that gives me a very nice perspective to look at what is the data, what did we find, and what did it personally feel like going through it. One thing I'm a big advocate that I did when I was doing my PhD was any of the testing that I had subjects do, I would always run pilot data on myself. Once, because that is a good way to figure out what are some of the errors in your testing. A lot of times stuff looks amazing on paper. It doesn't quite pan out when you go to do it because things happen. And then I always wanted to have the experience of what that was like for the people that I would be testing, because I wanted to know exactly, or at least have a pretty darn good idea what they were going through. My last quick comment here too is I think it was pretty eye-opening for all the subjects who came through the study, just to see what it's like to be in a study and then to see first person what actually goes on in a study. And even studies that are extremely well controlled, there's always going to be things that are probably not as controlled as what you may think. From people just picking the wrong rep range, people having weird results, like maybe they get stronger, maybe they learn how to do the exercise better, so now their rep count starts going up instead of, you know, hypothesized to go down. If you put people in a very highly charged training environment, everybody wants to do better, so everybody is going to most likely give their full effort, especially in more trained individuals. And you may have, you know, changes in what the reps look like in terms of distance being traveled, and then also in terms of, were you looking at continuous reps, or are you kind of allowing a few paused reps at the end? Because everybody knows that if you're doing, let's say, back squat, and you can crank out 10 reps continuously with very little pause at the top, if you pause at the top for even 1 to 3 seconds, you can crank out a couple more reps. All right, so is that controlled for? What is the main thing that you spec? And does that change over time? right? So my big takeaway with this is, this is even, I'd say, more eye-opening for me as just a reminder that there's never going to be a perfect study. By virtue of picking something, you're not picking something else. And the environment of which it's done makes a huge factor, even when that is supervised. Some studies, the training part is not supervised at all, so you have way more variation in there than you would think. And even when it is supervised, you still have more variation than what I think most people would believe. Now, the pro of when we did this study is that this hasn't ever really been looked at before. No study is ever going to be perfect, but it does give you a little piece of data into the puzzle of what you think is going on. And like science, it's very slow and kind of plodding moving forward. Always want to see studies that are replicated from different labs. And over time, we're looking for a consensus. What are kind of all these studies pooled together? What do they say? So I don't like to put any huge amount of faith into any one particular study as the be-all, end-all. All of them are adding up to put a little piece into the puzzle of what we think is going on. So stay tuned. We've got more info here on what are the results. It was a super fun experience to be down in Costa Rica again. Feel super honored and privileged to be a part of the study, both as a participant and as one of the people helping out with it. So big shout out to Dr. Ben House for all the work making that happen. Also Dr. Tommy Wood for helping out on the study. And we've got more coming up. So if you like this kind of science-based approach and, you know, literally doing the science, literally being a part of it, what I did is I translated a lot of the research into a certification that you can use and do from the comfort of your own home. It's called the Flex Diet Cert. For more info on that, go to www.flexdiet.com, FlexDiet.com, and you can get all the information there. You can get on the wait list of when it opens next. And the great part is you'll have a way of doing nutrition and recovery for yourself if you're an advanced fitness professional, or specifically with clients. It gives you the high, big picture. It gives you detailed information about different interventions, from protein to fats to carbohydrates to NEAT to exercise, fasting, sleep, and more. And also gives you very specific action items you can do to customize it to each particular client that you are working with, if their goals are body composition and or performance. So flexdiet.com, sign up there. Talk to you soon.